You're listening to the Collab Talk podcast, episode 261 of the MVP Buzz Chat series. In this episode, I'm talking with AI MVP John Aziz. Hey, everybody, this is Christian Buckley doing another MVP Buzz Chat, and I'm talking today with John. Hello.
Hey, Chris. Thank you for having me.
It's great to have you. Congratulations on the new MVP, on the big win. I know that it's always exciting. You're probably still just trying to figure out, what are all these calls? What do I need to be doing?
Yeah, I am. It's very, it's like they say, MVP. It's very buzzy thing to be an MVP, all of these things happening at the same time.
Well, that's why they call it you're drinking from the fire hose now. So there's a lot. Well, my advice is always the same to brand new MVPs is like pace yourself. You don't have to say yes to every meeting invite, every call that comes out. So do what makes sense. You don't have to do everything. But for folks that don't know you, who are you, where are you, and what do you do?
I am John. I'm a recent computer engineering graduate from Modern Academy. I come from Egypt. And what I have been doing is, for the past 2 years, I have been doing technical training in the full stack development field. And currently working as a technical trainer at a local company called iSchool.
You know, I have to say, I have done mentoring. I've spoken at several universities and given advice. So I come from the marketing side, but I've been in technology my entire career, over 30 years. And I always advise, I said, there are opportunities in technology no matter what your skill set, your passion. Obviously, you need a passion for technology, but you're a great example of, as a student, as a you've made connections into Microsoft. You're part of various programs there, and so relatively new to the workforce, and yet you earned your MVP and got involved. What was that path like? When did you even hear about the MVP program and start thinking about that in the scope of what you're doing as a student learner?
3 years ago, because I have been a Microsoft Learn student ambassador for 4 years. I graduated from the program recently along with my graduation from the from university, because I have to be a student to be a Microsoft Learn student ambassador. So after 1 year in the program, I learned about all the other programs that Microsoft offers, the MVP, and that I then learned that I get to be get nominated to become an MVP because I am a gold Microsoft Learn student ambassador. Of course, they always say that the nomination does not guarantee that you will become an MVP.
Right. Yeah, it's a bit of a black box. We don't know. There's no checklist like, hey, I've done all these things, therefore I'm moving up to the next area.
But being an ambassador and having access to the Visual Studio Enterprise subscription, because along with becoming an ambassador, you get access to all of these cool technologies. I got to play around with them for years. So I got to build my own machine learning models, which I used in my graduation project in my college and multiple other projects. So I got to play with Microsoft Azure. So they ask us to do a project at my college in a specific subject, and I go and search for on Azure on any tool that I can use to build this project. Mm-hmm. And then I go to the college. So I got to explore it while learning at my university.
And for folks that aren't aware too, if you go now, if you want to find an MVP, a Microsoft regional director, there you can go to the mvp.microsoft.com site. And so you've got a profile both as an MVP as well as a student ambassador. So what's great about that program is that that you can get that recognition. I mean, talk about going out into the workforce and already having on your resume that you are a Microsoft student ambassador, much less now an MVP. And so you start you know, taking in the benefits of being an MVP, and people look to you as a leader, as a thought leader within the space. I mean, that's a pretty compelling resume stuffer, you know?
Yeah, it is. And I want to tell you that all, of course, not all of them, not all of the opportunities that MVPs get, we as student ambassadors were getting. We were getting a few, like a big few and big few, one or two or three opportunities every 3 or 4 months we get. And we get to contribute to everything and get recognized, just like the MVP get recognized for their contributions. Mm-hmm. Whether it's hosting a build after party, Microsoft Build conference at your zone, or doing something that helps in organizing events that Microsoft is fostering or doing. So we got to do this and that, but of course, as MVP, you get more, you get a lot more to do. You get more responsibilities as you are growing.
Yeah. Well, you get access. You get the great access. Conversations that you get to partake in. Well, that's exciting. Well, let me ask you too about, so you're an AI MVP, and obviously that's a rapidly growing space within the MVP community, and Microsoft is looking for more existing MVPs as well as new MVPs that are active within the space. What are your current topics? Like, what are you talking about, writing about? What are your projects about in the AI space?
Currently, it's OpenAI. Of course, as I told you, it has been a work of 3 years. I have been working on Azure and AI. I have been like working on this field for the past 3 years because I love machine learning. There was no AI, OpenAI, no Copilot, nothing generative. It was all, you build a machine learning model, you deploy it, you consume it from an endpoint, and that's it. So, moving with the change that is currently happening everywhere, you have to learn and to work with OpenAI. So that's what most of my projects are currently based on. And I'm currently writing a blog about Cosmos DB and machine learning.
Okay.
It's there is a technical difficulty here in the blog, but I'm trying to come over it, but I don't know. When will I be able to do that?
You have to look like you're, because your MVP profile doesn't have your blog linked to that. So is that the additional link that we need to add here where you're sharing that info?
I don't think that I did add. I think you will find them in the activities. You mean a specific blog for me, right?
Yeah, like the link in your social links to add that.
No,
yeah.
I don't have a specific blog. When I write blogs, I write them in on the Microsoft Tech community.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay.
So unfortunately, I have not maintained or tried to maintain my own blog.
Yeah.
I tried, to be honest, but it's hard to copy and paste everything.
That's a great point, is that there are some people, there's nothing wrong with, like, there are some people that only post their blog posts on LinkedIn. That's where they post. And others that will go and use platforms like Medium or others where they don't have to maintain the site. You don't have to, especially, I know that there are a lot of people, I talk about this all the time. There's a lot of people that writing is difficult. They don't have the time. Like I was joking, I was interviewing somebody a few days ago that made the joke about he's a good blogger. He updates his blog at least once a year.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
That's like good for you. Yeah. Yeah. And there's no right or wrong on this space. And there's a lot of people that have, you know, months go by and then there's a blog post of something they think is important. There's other ways to contribute. It doesn't have to be just blogging, but there's also other places to go and write. And there's there's friends that I have that they do almost exclusively, their writing is for external sites, like mainstream sites that are out there. There's a lot of ways to contribute, I guess is what I'm saying.
Well, I want to tell you that I found that there is a benefit from me writing at the Educator Developer blog. at Microsoft Tech Community, which is that I get the audience of the Educator Developer blog.
Yeah.
So a blog that I wrote recently had 24,000 reach. And that I would have never done that on my own unless it was posted in, on this platform. Of course, other blogs that I did has 2,000, has that's the least one. But what I'm telling you is that if I did post this on my own social media, on my own platforms, it's not going to have that reach. It's not going to reach its intended audience. And that's, there is nothing wrong about this. You can't reach everywhere in the world.
Yeah.
But their platform does that, so why not use it?
Well, there's a right. There's a lot of reasons for that. You know, when you're asking a question, you go to that largest audience because you're most likely to get an answer. You know, the answer you're hoping for out of that. So yeah, tech community is a powerful platform. Highly recommend people to go. They've not already to create a profile and go over there and start participating in it. Well, there's, you know, and then of course there's also, you know, to post over there to get an invite from Microsoft to share your perspective. You also have the product teams, marketing teams, you know, engineering that are very active on there, and that raises your visibility.
Yeah, and they do sometimes, they do some SEO, and they even revise the blog for you. So it's a good win-win situation for you to be collaborating with Microsoft employees on doing this. And we as student ambassadors, we get this from someone who is a manager at Microsoft. He is responsible for the blog posting there, and he helps us. He takes our blog posts, and then he revised them, and then he helps the student post there more. So that's what he has been working on.
Yeah.
Along with this process, we worked on another program where we started publishing blogs on Microsoft Learn as tutorials. So the first tutorial to be published was mine, and it was about harnessing a large language model in Bar platform, and they renamed it for integrating Azure Machine Learning with Bar platform because and that was one of the first tutorials from students to be published on Microsoft Learn. They were figuring everything out with me, so it was new for everyone. Then we operationalized this, and we are pushing more and more blogs to becoming tutorials on Microsoft Cloud there.
That's great. Well, congrats on that. But I did want to ask you, like, so it's been a while since I've interviewed somebody from Egypt. Like, what is the tech community, like user groups and stuff? Like, how what's that like there in your region?
It's very bad, to be honest. There is no Microsoft communities at Egypt. People don't even know about Microsoft Learn. And there is other groups, other companies, but that's the prominent like activities that happen at Egypt. So with my graduation, I tried, of course, I as I told you, I try to do stuff, but I don't reach everyone.
Right.
So my work reaches 100, and I want to tell you that people, that's something that came up to me, and I did not, I was not fully aware of it, but people all over Egypt have heard about me, that I do Microsoft stuff, and they invite me to conferences and to speak. But the problem is that one person can do everything.
Right.
So I tried to start the user group Azure Egypt. It was there, but it was not active for 2 years. So we are trying to revive it and start producing like nationwide activities and do big stuff that people get to attend and see and reach more people, and we can learn about the cool stuff that we get to learn about.
Yeah, it's, you know, for folks that have not been involved with starting and running a user group, I mean, there's a lot of effort To pull together even like a core team. So it's not just you doing it alone, finding people that you can rely on, that if you're out sick or you're traveling to an event somewhere, that they're going to take it and run with it without you having to guide it along every step. And that it can take a long time to find the right people to do that have the right passion, level of passion to drive that.
Yeah, that's a tough one, the passion thing that you talked about. But I found a friend of mine who was, we became ambassadors together 4 years ago. We were one of the two first ambassadors to come from Egypt too, because as you were telling me before we go live that Microsoft started rebranding stuff. And one of the things that got rebranded to was the Microsoft Student Partner Program. It became Microsoft Learn Student Ambassadors. So it was previously that. So this was like, we were the first batch to become Microsoft Learn Student Ambassadors everywhere. So then he is currently a Gold Ambassador too. And we are starting this together and another friend of ours. And we're trying to recruit core team, as you talked about. We were trying to find a designer, we're trying to find someone to write the content. Yeah. It's a very big thing to do.
Well, the nice thing is that, one thing that happened during pandemic with every user group going virtual, if they stayed stuck around, is that there are now more and more, in fact, like I've got my user group meeting this evening, and like we've got one of our group that's going to be, or two of them that are going to present on a couple different topics. But most of our speakers are coming from outside of the region and international for many of them. In fact, I'm always grateful. The timing of our user group, we meet at 4:30 in the afternoon. We've had people over in Europe after midnight dialing in to present to us. I'm so grateful for the people that stay awake and do that. I mean, I've gotten up at like 4 a.m. and presented to somewhere over in India a couple times or down in Asia Pacific. So you have, that's something you have as a tool as well. If you have the infrastructure you set up, and for folks too, that are saying, well, I don't have the environment to be able to run those, or I don't have the tools because I'm not a student ambassador. I'm not an MVP with these. I can't use my work tools. If you go through the communitydays.org, you can actually get access to the community tenant and set up a community tenant, a space for your user group. So I don't know if you've done that yet or if you are thinking of that path, but you can actually get a SharePoint SharePoint's at the back end, Teams environment for your user group to use if you set up these recurring meetings, and it's all free to do.
That's amazing. So, I didn't know about it.
Yeah, and then you can start reaching out, put a call for speakers out, and start bringing in speakers, and maybe that'll help you, to grow your regional group.
You know, a very big problem that we face at Egypt is that, to be honest, it's two problems. So the other prominent communities are doing too many activities. So a normal a learner, okay, don't know which ones are good, which ones are bad, and they go and attend an event, and it's not very good. So what we found is that over the past few years, at the beginning, it was very, very, as you said, when COVID came, it was very active online presence from people. People are wanting to learn and become, and they attend. But when they don't learn anything, they lose interest over time.
Yep.
So over time, we found that people are very picky. So and if you're not doing very well,
That's why, like we're doing tonight, that's why we entice people with, at the very least, we have a sponsored pizza dinner so people can come for the free food and to socialize and gather. So hopefully we'll get more people showing up. Well, that's, and go ahead.
The other problem is what is the language barrier. I'm from Egypt. Not all of us speak English very fluently. or even speak English at all. So we are very, when I try to get cool speakers, people with huge expertise, people are bored because they don't understand anything.
Right. I know.
There is no solution, you know.
Well, it's being worked on. I mean, that's one exciting space that we're getting into with the. I think we're a couple years at away from having like the universal translator, so that like in a real time with a stream or a meeting, like you could be speaking Egyptian, I'm speaking English, but we hear and I see, you know, it's instantly translated as you're speaking. And we see examples of that. And of course, there's a lot of back-end processing to turn that around. But we're getting close. I've shared a story. Like I was flying. So I lived in Seattle for over 12 years. And I was flying through Seattle, going, connecting and going somewhere else. And I sat down to two women who were vacationing over from China. And these two older women, and they were... They like very little English. And I pulled out my phone and was using a translator app and was able to, while there was Wi-Fi, while the connection worked, and was able to have a conversation back and forth with them. And so I shared with them, like I was continuing on, they were staying in Seattle and having lived there, I was telling them you should go see these things and go different places. And it was slow. It was a bit cumbersome, but that is improving rapidly. And we're getting to the point where you won't even need the device. You can talk into your phone, or, you know, maybe there's even in the future, like a wearable that just does it all right there with a little earpiece.
Yeah, I hope, because that would solve lots of issues, because we don't have a big technical office at Egypt for Microsoft. So that's a big part of the problem, which is that we don't have technical skilled and people who can speak publicly. So the technical people are closed door, live in a closed door. They don't go public, don't speak about technology.
Right.
Because they are, and they are, like, you can count them on your hand, the technical people at Egypt office. Because it's a business office for Microsoft.
Oh, so it's more of a sales office than it is. It's not like a Microsoft Technology Center, and you know, MTC. Yeah, that's look. We have the same. Not that we have the language barrier issue, but that's all we have here in Utah is a sales office, and so and if you ever go to the sales office, you've got somebody at reception, and then you see one or two people walking in the back, but there's no interaction. Like we do our user groups, we do our events, and rarely do we get Microsoft people from the region even showing up.
That's the same problem.
We have international. We have people from Redmond, from headquarters, that come and even speak at our events, but we don't have any local people. Like, why is that? If I were a Microsoft salesperson, I would want to be connected to and participate in the community activities, so I would know what's happening. Who are the movers and shakers? Who could I call on to answer questions that I might have? That from the community. Anyway, it doesn't make any sense to me.
Yeah, it doesn't. I don't know why. Why is it like that? It's even at your place. I did not imagine it would be that global, but.
It's a common problem. And we're about to have, I think, our 10th annual event in this region. Of course, we took a couple years off because of COVID, but it used to be our SharePoint Saturday event. Now it's our Collab Days Utah event. It's coming up in April. And was talking to a Microsoft person. And is like, well, you know, if you did these things and got funding, I said, you know, this is our 10th event. We've never had funding from Microsoft. We've always done it on our own. And we've always had 4, 5, 6 Microsoft speakers, none of them local. We invite, we let them know, they never show up. Or I should say, 1 year, one time, one person from the local office showed up. So I don't know how you fix that. You keep inviting, you keep it open. Yeah. Microsoft people watching, you're always welcome to come and participate. It's, we're all learning together, you know. Well, John, what other, any other big events, any activities happening in region that people need to be aware of, or what's the latest over there?
Well, to be honest, in the region, regional activities, I don't think there is, because even the AI tour is not happening all over Africa. So there is no AI tour at Africa. Yeah. And but for other communities, there are some cool activities happening. And there are, it's not very regional. I'm speaking tomorrow at a South Africa event. And on Friday, we have our meetup event at Azure Egypt. And I think on Saturday, I have another event, but this is an offline event at the Badri University at Cairo.
Yeah. Well, I know that there for folks in the region, I've done a lot of work and partnerships over in Africa and the Middle East. And you're right. I mean, there's South Africa, probably number one in activity. Nigeria, there's a lot of activity. Ghana, I've had a lot of activity.
The development center, the Microsoft Development Center.
That's right.
That's what the activities happen.
And the data centers as well. That, you know, so that's always going to help spark activity. But there's a ton happening around the Middle East, and of course, tons online. So people within, you know, if you're located in those regions and you're looking for stuff, there's a lot online. But I always recommend, you know, hey, if one thing that I can help with is help people to get to know you, now they can reach out to you and like, hey, John, we'd love to have you come and speak to our company. And as an MVP, when I always love that when people reach out and say, hey, would you come speak to my internal user group at my company? I've done that. I've actually flown across the US. I've spoken at user groups that were just a very large company, and it worked out. It, you know, it was a good relationship. And so I love those invites, and hopefully you get some new invites to come and speak and share. So, well, John, for folks that don't know you and want to reach out and connect with you, where are you most active in social? Where can people find you?
Everywhere at John Zero Isaac, and it's on GitHub, LinkedIn, Facebook, Instagram, anywhere, Twitter. But Twitter add another zero, so it's John Zero Zero Isaac, because the Zero Isaac was reserved.
you gotta find those people and negotiate down. Well, I really appreciate you know, it's great connecting with you again. Congratulations on the new award, and keep doing what you're doing. And of course, we'll have the links. Of course, you can find to all of his information out on BuckleyPlanet.com, out on the podcast, and out on YouTube. So, well, thanks a lot, John, for your time.
Thank you. Thank you for having me, Chris.
Wow.